in Seattle,
Seattle.
And you need to buy yourself a home. We'll be right there for you,
because
we're the realtors
that you can trust.
So go to RodandDonceDown.com.
Don't go anywhere unless you want to. It's the Ron and Don Show, starring Ron and Don, and sometimes me, at ronanddon.com.
All right, you guys, well, let's see, it's Friday. Yeah, welcome to Friday. We're back in the Les Schwab Studios. It's a real estate-only version of the Ron and Don Show. So if you're tuning in to hear sports and news talk and slices of life and things about the great Pacific Northwest, we're going to talk about that on our Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday show. But on Friday, we talk about real estate only. Not a real long show. It's only about 15 minutes. It's one segment. And we talk about something that we are learning in our real estate journey as brokers, as investors, and as agents here in Seattle. Don't forget, we sell the Sound. So if you're thinking about buying, selling, investing somewhere in the Sound, we are here for you. And we have the resources to do it. And believe me, you'd love to have us at the negotiation table for you. And it all starts with something called a Ron and Don sit down. Go to RonandDonSitDown.com and get signed up for a sit-down with us today, and we'll find out if we can be good partners. Interesting story this week. And in fact, I think I shared on the Thursday show that our friend Gary Verrill had passed away. One of the things that Gary had done before he passed away is he started taking things that were important to him, and he started giving those things away. One of those things that he gave away, he was a Ram rider, raced across America. He had 17. They're called Davidson bikes. They're very special bikes. One of the last hand-built bikes here in Seattle by Bill Davidson and his brother. So if you're an old cyclist, you know about these bikes. And in fact, when I'm out riding my Davidson and people see it, they're amazed by it because they know about the brother. So Gary was sponsored by them. He had 17 of these bikes. He had one bike left, bike 55. It's going to the Major Taylor Project, and I'll tell you about that more. But he gave it to me, and he started taking the things in his life that were important to him, and he started giving some of those things away. I also heard that Elton John this week, for instance, and I don't think Elton John is going to do what Kiss did and say, hey, it's the end of the road tour, and then it's the end of the road for 20 years. Cher did the same thing, and what happens for a lot of these artists when they can't fill arenas anymore, they tell you it's the end of the road, this is it, it's over with, and then you come out, you think it's it, and then they're coming through. This time, they can't fill an arena, but maybe they can fill a casino and 3,000, and then they're trying to get you to come out to that, a different version of the band. And they just, like Leonard Skinner the other day, I heard was playing somewhere around here. And I don't think there's anyone left from Leonard Skinner that still could be alive. Most of them died in a plane crash. And then I think everybody else is dead. So I don't know if it's a kid or an uncle, but evidently there's Leonard Skinner is still out there. Anyway, Elton John has said, I think when he did his end of the Yellow Brick Road tour, I think that was it. I also see him now, for instance, he's selling his home in Atlanta, and he has all these incredible collections of things that he has purchased and bought over the years. And what we see him doing now is taking those things. And as he gets older, instead of saying, you know what, I'm going to die, and then somebody else is going to get all my stuff, and it's going to land in their hands. It's going to end up at an auction. And we see a lot of this. Like, you look at Paul Newman's vehicles, for instance. Do you know who owns all of Paul Newman's old vehicles? Adam Carolla does. And he's been buying those cars up, his race cars up, for years, right? Paul Newman hadn't decided, as he was getting toward the end of his life, in fact, I just got done reading a book about him, that he was going to sell some of those things off. So it was up to the family to do that. And what you find in real estate a lot of times is that when you leave it up to your family to do that, you leave an incredible burden on them. I am dealing with a client right now that owns 26 homes in Magnolia and on Queen Anne. It's five kids, and these five kids right now they are in a fight, right? They're in a fight because they can't get along, and they all see this real estate very differently. And as a result of the trust not selling off this property and then saying, hey, we're going to split the money five ways, they hung on to all these homes. And now it has become a real point of contention where the family has to sit down and mediate and try. And they're doing that. And they'll come to a great conclusion. But I have to say, it's created a lot of stress for this family as a result. It created a lot of stress for Paul Newman's family having to get rid of these race cars. And so I congratulate Gary for looking at his bikes and saying, hey, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to thoughtfully give these things away. This is part of my legacy, and I also don't want to leave a burden for my family. And now I see Elton John doing some of the same things. Because the cool thing is, and you see artists doing with their music too, they have an opportunity to have a say in what happens with their things and what happens with their art. And as a result of that, they get to take that money and then they get to send that to places that really makes a difference. Look at Prince, on the other hand. He passed away. He didn't even have a will. And as a result of that, the family has really been a mess since then. Ron, we've seen it both ways, where someone's passed away and it's very clear where everything should go. And then when it's not, a lot of times family members are left in distress. And a lot of times family members have to lawyer up. And the next thing you know, you're sitting at a table across from your brother or sister with a lawyer trying to figure it all out, right?
Yeah, and I'm going to do something that people may think is presumptuous, because there's like, oh, you don't know every situation. I want to give people out there that feel stuck right now when a loved one is no longer with them, you have permission to let it rip. And what I mean by that is I have some folks that I'm dealing with right now, or working with, have the honor to work with right now, who had a loved one pass away, and they feel stuck because that loved one had stuff that was very important to them. And the person that is left behind doesn't know what it is, in a sense, like knows what it is, but doesn't know what to do with it. In one case, it was some cars. Another one had a collection of tools in the garage was completely packed. And this loved one loved all of it. And the relative knows that. And they feel stuck because they're like, what is my obligation to my loved one? How do I go through this in a way that's respectful to their memory? And I can do it in a way that I don't feel stuck. It's like, do I keep the car? Like, I don't know anything about antique cars. Would you want me to keep the car? Should I get the car fixed up? If I sell the car, is that disrespectful to his memory? What do I do with this thing? Should it be my daily driver? Am I now an antique car person? Like, they don't know. And this person, when I met with them, was actually wearing a Boston sweatshirt from the band Boston with the Boston logo on it. And they don't like Boston. They're like, I'm going through his stuff. He loved old classic rock. And I just felt like I wanted to wear the Boston sweatshirt today. It's like, I couldn't name you two Boston songs, but they want to honor that person. And so I want to give you permission, because we've come up against this multiple times. I'm going to speak on behalf of the loved one that's not there anymore. You can let go of the stuff. You can get unstuck. I don't want you to wallow in it. I don't think there's a love. If they really loved you, and whether it's Elton John or just the people that we're dealing with here locally, they would not want this to be an impassable moment. They don't want this to be Mount Everest. They would want you to move on. They would want you to live the rest of your life, not looking back at this, the wake of everything. And I used the word wake like from a boat, the boat wake of like all of their stuff and their passions and their possessions. So it is a process that I actually love that we do, because we've met with clients like this before, and they want to, like, hey, I need to sell this house. It's like, let's pause for a minute and give honor to the building, honor to the person that was there, and then permission to let go of some stuff. And we've been in situations where a family, like you and I, picked up an item and was like, you're getting rid of this? And we're like, yep. It's like, okay. And it's an item that seemed sentimental to me or you, seemed like maybe there was some intrinsic value, but they had given themselves permission to let that go. It was no longer serving the purpose because that purpose was tied to the person.
Yeah. I remember a number of years ago, I went up to Green Lake. I sat down with Sandy. I won't share her last name. And we sat in a chair together. It was a rainy afternoon. And she started telling me about her love for Tom, and Tom had passed away in that house. And she said, I just can't stand one more rainy day here in this house where we have all these memories. And I said, well, what is keeping you from moving? And she said, I'll show you. So she took me out to Tom's garage, and he was a collector of all kinds of cool car stuff. And he had the coolest garage I've ever seen in Green Lake, and just packed to the gills with really cool stuff. And it was Tom Land out there, right? And there was a sign on the door that said Tom's Garage. And so we went back in, we sat down, and she just said, I am overwhelmed by it. And she said, I feel like if I give all that stuff away, I just honor him. And I said, well, what do you want to do, like, looking forward? She said, well, I have friends that just moved down to the desert. They're down there having a great time. I would like to move down to the desert. I would like for there to be sunny days, but there's no way I can move down there because I would have to sell this house, and all the money that I have is tied up in this house. So we had to really spend some time talking about Tom and his stuff and his memory and what was important to her and what we think would be important to Tom. And then we went through the process of bringing in folks to help us deal with everything in the garage, and letting some of those things go. But it was a long process. And then we had to go in and we had to do a lot of work to the house in order to make it turnkey, bring it to market. When we were in the process of doing that, I took the sign that says Tom's Garage and I took it off the door. And we ended up selling the house, and she was no longer in the area. She had already moved down to the desert. And so in the mail, I had sent her this sign, and we gave it to my friend Dave. And I said, Dave, could you make this into a really cool piece of artwork? And which he did. And she got that. And she said it was the most wonderful gift that she had ever received before. Because she got the gift of the money out of the house that released her from the memories of being in that house. She got to move to a place where she felt loved and supported. And she no longer had the memories of those rainy days in a house where her husband had passed away. And at the same time, she felt like she still honored him. And then she had something to still remember him by. That's the important thing. I did the same thing in Tacoma with Sharon. We had to go through all of her husband's stuff. We did it in a very respectful way. And then there was a sign on the gate that had their last name, and I took that sign and I sent it to Dave, and I said, Dave, could you make this a really cool piece of artwork? And she stayed in the area, but she, same thing. She had to downsize. She wanted to go to a community where there are other women there, where she could have fun. And in fact, I remember I was in New Orleans and Ron, you were here. We ended up calling her. We had sold her place. We did the deal. And then, and I remember when we called her, when we were doing the deal, she was out in a van on her way to go have fun with a group of women. They were on a trip. And when I went to meet her, she was stuck in this house again. It was a rainy day. She had made me molasses cookies and coffee. And I would go there and I would sit down and I would talk to Sharon. And she's like, I can't get unstuck from this. And so we came in, we helped get her unstuck. And then we had a really cool lunch with her. And I was able to bring that sign, which Dave made into a complete piece of artwork. And we gave it to her at lunch. And it's one of most favorite pieces of art that she has in her house. So there's a way to remember someone and honor someone. But and I congratulate Elton John for doing this, because your families don't need to get tied down by this, because it ties them down when they're going through all this grief, and it can really hold them back. And so and him doing that, or even Gary and giving away his bikes, because those are his most prized possessions. He's ridden these across America. He's had them for decades, which means that I have to make sure, as I'm going through my stuff all the time, that I don't want to leave a bunch of stuff behind for my son or for other people that becomes a burden, right? Unless they're gold coins. So, hey, you guys, thanks for listening to this episode of the Ron and Don Show. And don't forget, when somebody passes away, when there's a reverse mortgage on the house, when things happen and things seem to be caving in on you and you have a bunch of stuff that you have to deal with, that's what we do. We are used to doing a lot of deals like that, because a lot of you that listen to us are boomers. You're in a generation where your parents are passing away right now. You're looking, or maybe you're losing a husband or a wife, and then you're looking for help. We are here to do that. All you have to do is we sit down, we come up with a strategy, we'll have some molasses cookies, we'll share a cup of coffee, and we'll figure out a way forward, okay? Yeah. If you need us, just reach out, ronanddonsitdown.com. Don't forget, in 2024, if you refer us, Ron and Don are taking you to dinner, and we're going to take you to the top of the hill here to Grappa, one of our favorite restaurants, and we'll sit down together and share a meal to thank you for your referral. All right? Till next time, you keep your head up and your shoulders back. If you need us, ronanddonsitdown.com. We sell the sound. We love you guys. Head up, shoulders back. We'll see you next time. You've been listening to the Ron and Don Show only on the Ron and Don Radio Network.
Now keep your head up and your shoulders back and keep blowing that trumpet, and we'll see you next time.
Only.
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 Only
on the Ron and Don Radio Network.